Hi, this is Ed Burns with Search Business Analytics, and this is the Talking Data Podcast. Today I'm joined by my colleague Jack Vaughn from Search Data Management, and he's going to give us a rundown on some of the reporting he's been doing lately around GDPR. This is the big European data protection policy that's set to roll out in a little over a month, I'd say, right from now. And so Jack has been doing a lot of reporting around it, and he's gonna give us a deep dive into what businesses should expect from the new regulations. And so Jack, I know one of the interesting things is that this is a European law, but people are expecting American businesses to be affected by it too. I know that you spoke with Darragh O'Brien, the consultant over in Ireland. What was his take on this issue?
Well, thanks, Ed. Dara is a longtime data information expert, really focused on quality. But he and his consultant colleagues naturally are turning their attention to GDPR, which is a general data protection regulation that the European Union implemented a couple of years ago, but now with May 25th, 2018, they are prepared to launch the enforcement stage of GDPR, and that could mean penalties, and depending on the size of the company, depending on the infractions as they see them, it could be sizable. So you say, well, who does this affect? I think it's fair to say that the European Union has a different point of view on privacy than a lot of the American companies that were in the forefront of big data and gathering data on the web and monetizing it. In the European Union, there is an ethos that is of a mind that the data belongs to you, and your data belongs to you, and that there has to be really clear agreement about what you do with it. If there's breaches, you have to be able to tell people quickly and so on. And yes, it does affect American companies. That is in the sense if they're doing business with people in the European Union. Of course, with the onslaught of globalism, and of course they don't call it the World Wide Web for nothing, there's a lot of worldwide data gathering, and so it's very easy for American companies to conceivably come into the coverage of GDPR.
Mm-hmm. And so that's a good overview of kind of the spirit behind the law. But can you take us through some of the more specific requirements of the law that businesses are going to have to comply with?
Yeah, I'll try. In the interest of time, of course, I'll kind of skim over a few things. There's 99 articles in the General Data Protection Regulation, and I think it's fair to say that there's what we would call wiggle room in there. In other words, it's not so clearly defined. There's room for your mileage may vary, as we sometimes say. But Article 17, that's about the right to be forgotten. And if I don't want my identity information to be in your system, I can tell you that, and this is kind of a different view again than America might generally have, and not just companies. There's sort of public records. There's cases now where people that were convicted and went to jail and served their time don't want the information that they were ever indicted and found guilty. They don't want that to be on the web. They don't want it to be in Google search results. Well, the United States and certainly a lot of advocates for the press, that would be a public records issue that we do seem to have a different point of view than our European brethren. But the right to be forgotten, also known as the right to erasure, is spelled out in Article 17 of GDPR. There's Article 32, which requires companies to attempt to anonymize and encrypt personal data and to ensure an adequate level of security. appropriate to the risk. So appropriate to risk. Of course, there's more risk if it has to, if this involves money, but the data may involve some security records, what have you. But again, appropriate to the risk is something that has to be seen as time goes forward in terms of, you know, what that really means in different cases.
Yeah, the right to be forgotten piece of that, I think, is really interesting, especially when you think about, you know, over the last few years, so much of businesses' data gathering practices have been about just kind of scooping up as much data from as many sources as they can, not worrying about who it's about or anything like that. But so now I imagine they're going to have to build in some kind of, you know, functionality into their data systems to reach in there and identify those individuals who ask to be forgotten, I suppose. Seems like it's going to be a big technical challenge. But so how are U.S. companies responding to these kinds of issues? How far along are they to being ready to comply with the various components of this law?
Well, you know, Facebook, for example, who a lot of people look at as the target of some of this GDPR-style regulation, a company that gathers a lot of information on its users and somehow converts that into income, it's hard to say if they'll be the first target here. So Facebook, for its part, very openly in February, Sheryl Sandberg, the chief operating officer there, went to Brussels and said, we think we're ready and that this is all good data governance. We find a lot of people saying that a lot of this, these requests to protect data within relational databases and structured data in companies, that this is not that different than HIPAA. This is not that different than PCI. This is not that different than things that came into being in the United States relating to consumer privacy in the 1970s. So there is some track record here. But with the onslaught of big data over the last years, there's more data, and not all of it has been defined as it was received. It might have been thrown in a data lake. And so we're seeing the emergence of tooling that goes through and sort of parses data, and certainly if it's these nine characters and a couple of hyphens, it might think there's a social security number there. There is some feeling that in corporations they have better tools today to find data and you know, to characterize data, but there's still a lot of work ahead.
Yeah, and I do wonder if that's maybe, you know, the people who are saying, yeah, we're ready and it's not that different, I wonder if that is something of a rosy view of the situation. You know, you mentioned it's not that different from HIPAA or PCI, but those are regulations that affect specific industries. GDPR is going to affect companies across all types of industries, and so I imagine there are going to be a lot of businesses who are not used to doing this kind of thing who are going to be impacted by the law.
Yeah, I think you're right there. And so there's this general feeling, and it's somewhat in the verbiage you find in the regulation, that companies have to be prepared to show that they're trying to do this. So, well, I'm working on it. What does that mean? And I think we'll see sometime this year what it means, because I may feel that if I send an individual to a conference and I assign them to be the data protection officer for the company, that I am making a good attempt to try and start to meet these obligations. And somebody might say, no, that's not good enough. So we're looking to see. Europeans, I've seen some studies where they feel they're less ready than Americans do for GDPR. And sometimes I wonder if that's because Americans are hoping that it won't be bad, and the Europeans may be saying, well, they don't know that it'll be so good.
Part of my research, I spoke with Cindy Zhu, who's an analyst with Constellation Research,
And, you know, she told me that marketing might just be awakening to the issues that they face with GDPR. Some of her research bore that out. And she said, with digital marketing, companies just have more data on people than ever, and that it's coming in very quickly, and it's not easy to handle.
Definitely stay on top of it, Jack. And thanks for taking the time to run down some of your recent reporting for us. And thank you as well to our listeners for joining us on this edition of the Talking Data Podcast.